He wasn't serious about it. He knows whether you're serious or not. I mean, you know, you repent and all that, and if you're not serious, God knows that. God knows it, and somewhere it'll all come up. So. Well, right. Well, most people repent because they get caught.
Yeah.
I really, honestly, you repent because you get caught. You know, so.
Or like you need God.
Yeah.
Know, you're desperate.
Well, that's why David says, "I seek Him daily." So, see, David, there was not. I don't believe. Sure, David had his ups and downs, but I believe David went by the precepts. He went by the commandments. He went by what the priest said. You know, he had his earthly problems in his flesh, but. But as far as being a man after God's own heart, he did, just like that said, that right there, I have done thy precepts. Well, now, if he hadn't been doing it, he'd have been lying, and it wouldn't have been in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? It wouldn't have been written in the Bible if it would have been a lie. So God knew that David kept those precepts every day of his life. Still living a human life and all that, but he knew that if David had a new birth like we do, that it would have kept him from doing a lot of those things. But, of course, you know, it hadn't been given at that time, so... I'm sorry we don't have technology today to put anything on the board. The iPad become an iFlop momentarily. No. They had a new operating system which I loaded a couple of days ago, and it had so many boo-boos in it, they came out with 8.2 or 02, and they're loading it now because Something's not working. Something's not working. And it's not operator error. Not this time. That leaves the door open. Not this time. Those of you that clapped, you can leave now, Joyce. Good to have Sister Francine Reed with us today from Jamaica. They drove a long way to get here today. But good to have him with us today. You'll be blessed by Brother Keith, I'm sure. If he just reads the scripture and goes home, it'd be a good day. So, but what we were going to talk about, was where Brother Branham comes to this part right here, to where he says we've come up this far, and now the Holy Spirit's going to seal this in. It's not a different Holy Ghost, like we were talking about, remember last Sunday. It's not a different Holy Ghost. It's the same Holy Ghost, but the degrees are with you and me. You know, I may have stated that wrong. The Holy Ghost doesn't have degrees. The Holy Ghost is eternal. It has everything you need. We are the ones that give it the degrees. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because remember, Brother Bram said, you can come to temperance, and if that's all you can believe, that's all you're going to get. Now, the Holy Ghost that you've got is full of this right here. Right? The Holy Ghost is full of divine love. You don't get the new birth down here and don't get divine love. No, you get the headstone. But what we have to do as humans, we have to process it here, right? Then it has to drop down here. Our problem is that we see in a lot of the ministry is, honestly, they get it here. They can read a quote. They can take a scripture. And like Mama said, they can just make a good dissertation just like a college professor. They can put information together. And then they can speak that information. And, you know, you with the Holy Ghost, though, it can quicken. But they could be standing in the pulpit and not have one lick of the Holy Ghost. That's the anointed ones at the end time. Because they're anointed with the true Holy Ghost. But they have nothing in their soul. But God can anoint them like Caiaphas. Caiaphas, until Jesus came, Caiaphas was the man. Right? Caiaphas was the high priest. God, when he went back one year for the sins of the whole of Israel, when he went back and put that blood on the altar, God accepted that. But he knew down inside Caiaphas was going to turn him down. He knew that before the foundation of the world. I've always wondered, and I look in the end time, but you look at Balaam. Balaam could get an audience with God. He knew how to approach God. But that man was evil. In his soul. He was evil. Because what he done was he wanted to destroy Israel. But he said, I can't speak except what God tells me. So he honored the gift. But remember, Satan came in and give him an idea to go around that gift, right? And say, oh, let's just get them to marry among each other. And then you'll have your purpose fulfilled. Whether you think it's got to come right here, we're just going to go around it. Now, what's the devil always done? God put Adam and Eve in the garden to fulfill this purpose. Satan just goes right around God's purpose and comes right up here and starts in Eve, right? But now God's purpose, remember, will never fail. Because when God purposes something, it's going to happen. So it didn't disrupt God's plan in the Garden of Eden. Balaam didn't disrupt God's plan, but Balaam did destroy a nation. He did. Remember, when Israel went whoring with other women and other gods, God divorced them. He turned them away. So he destroyed a whole kingdom of Israel by what he done. But Balaam could get an audience with God. Balaam knew how to put the quotes together. Let me put it that way. Balaam knew how to put the quotes together. Balaam knew how to put the scriptures together, because remember, seven rams. So he knew that you had to put this quote with this quote and this quote with this quote. Hello, somebody. Right? He knew how to put all that together, and you know what? God comes down and says, what do you need? He said, well, I want to curse Israel. He said, you can't do that. And you know what? Balaam goes back to Balak and says, I can't curse him. But in Balaam's mind, he was thinking, how can I get by this? Because remember, Brother Brown said he was a hireling prophet. He wanted that money. He wanted money. Remember, money, women, and popularity is the three things that will get you if you're standing in any position. So you be careful with it. And so Balaam wanted the money part. So he just kept going. And you know, he kept even pressing God. And God said, no, no. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. Sure. That's what he was talking about. I was trying to find the word, but it was respect. Because your parents had respect to God, so God, you know, he has respect back to you, just like with David. David had respect for what word he had, right? But we have to watch that in the end time, because Without these virtues, we are deceived. One more time. Without these virtues working in your life, there is deception. You say, be deceived? Yeah, well, Brother Brown said it'd be so close. Bible said it'd be so close till it would try to deceive the very elect. Well, now see, the very elect is right here. So there's a deception that comes, but the Holy Ghost should raise up and say, no, that's not right. No, that's not, you know, the Holy Ghost should come up and say, no, that's not right. Now, you might not be able to do like me. Now, I can come up and explain that error. You understand what I'm saying? I can explain that error. Brother Dale can explain that error that comes forth. But you may have a question in your mind, and you may even be deceived yourself for a moment of time. But I've said in many services, message services, that when a preacher would say something, there'd be something in me go, and it would just be a click. It'd be just like,
it was an
uncertain sound. That's right. See, you're sitting there dinging. Now, a preacher can preach 2 hours and be right for an hour and 55 minutes and preach 5 minutes of error, and Brother Brown said it's all wrong. Right? One word off. So that's why we have to be careful as preachers. We have to not just put quotes together and just put scriptures together. We have to see what the Spirit says. And I'm getting somewhere with this. It's not because of recent events, but it is part of it. But right here, this is where the bell rings the loudest. You understand what I'm saying? You'll get a little nod from God. You'll get a little. But when those disciples came to a place, to Brother Brown said, just one little nod from God, and they'd go do it. Just a little nod from God, they'd go do it. See, that's why we all have to be led that way. We all have to be led by the Lord, that if something does, you know, we were sitting in a meeting one time, there was 600 people there, and a preacher was preaching away, and he made just a, you know, talk about Jesus wasn't God and all these things, you know, and they all of them get up and shout except me, June, Daddy, Mama, Richard Wilson, Sister Wilson, a couple others. We sat there because we didn't agree with it. I'm not going to agree with something I don't agree with. And when that thing, it didn't just thump me, it's like a knife stuck in my heart. I'm like, no, wait a minute. See, that's that uncertain sound. You hear that and you go, okay, everything's fine. Kind of like you're going down the road driving a car and all eight cylinders are going like this and all of a sudden your car goes, boom, boom. You go, okay, what's wrong? There's a problem somewhere. So you go back into your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, which is where these work. Remember, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear doesn't have anything to do with this. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear is given to everybody to contact the world. But now remember, they can be deceiving. Magicians can prove that. Magicians can do things to make your sight see something you don't want to see or not see something you do see because the hand's quicker than the eye. But when you get into memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, this is where you have to bring it into control in the spirit realm. Because remember, if you're born again, there's only one sense in your soul, right? That's faith. It's not faith and doubt. That's two souls. It's not faith or doubt. You're either black or white, right? But now what happened with the old Indian was, the black dog was driven out of the soul, but he was still in the spirit. Because we still, that's where we have our problems. The problem is the Word of God is getting us to, because remember, the first realm, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, is everybody's. Sinner, saint, whoever, doesn't matter. All right? But memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination, that's where the devil plays, and that's where God uses the same thing. Because God has to use my memory to bring this back to you, right? But Satan will bring something to my memory that I did 30 years ago, and I'm like, where'd that come from? Well, I know where it come from. It come from that fallen condition of Adam, the Adamic nature. It's done away with in the soul, so it's not faith and doubt. So faith is in there and doubt's cast out, but I like what Brother Mike Olteek said. And oh, remember, Ryan, you got next Sunday, right? Okay. Because Brother Bob and I will be in Mobile, Alabama at Brother Matthew. I want to call him Michael. Matthew. Brave. But remember, when you come to a point in the gospel where there's questions, I hope this helps you, whether you got a question in your mind, the best thing to do is not overdo it. Not, don't press into anything. Just kind of, Brother Brown said one time, he said, just kind of lay it on the shelf. So Brother Mike Olte, he had a good example. He said, if your soul's eternal, it is. Your soul is eternal. If you're born again this morning, eternal as God is. You have the potential of all this. Actually, you have this. But remember what the scripture just said. It's in a baby form. It's down here at the bottom. At the cornerstone, the foundation stone. It's got to be built up. This is not a statue. It's a stature, height development. Stature is growth up to here, all right? But Brother Mike Olte said, look, he said, if you're eternal in your soul. Now, that doesn't ever disagree with the Word. It can't, because it is the perfect Word. But now we have questions in our spirit realm. And that spirit lays so close to that soul because you can't separate them. You know, Brother Branham drew the circles. That's okay. That's for reference points, just like this is for reference points. But it's not that. There's not you fill up with virtue like a tank of gas. You fill up with virtue and then you stop, and you fill up with knowledge and you stop. No, it's all intertwined. But your spirit is laying so close to your soul, that spirit still has that old Adamic nature. And I love what he says. He said, because what you hear has to go through that filter first. It goes through the spirit realm first. Goes down into the soul. The soul gives it a positive or a negative, agree or disagree. And when it comes back out, if you're not trained right, have the virtues working in your life. Because remember, without the virtues, then it's a stumbling block to the unbeliever. but it's also satanic if you can't handle them. What happens is that point comes back out, because remember, it's got to come from out of the heart proceedeth all things. Out of the heart, which is not this, it's the heart of you. When it comes back out through that filter of memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, the devil's sitting there. And he starts plugging those flues up. Well, he might be right if, or this might remember when. We all go through it. I've just never heard it explained that well, because really your spirit does lay so close to your soul, you can't separate them. You know, there's not a circle inside you that's just got your soul and a circle that's just got your spirit. No, it's all intertwined. Take the soul out of a person, you die. So the spirit goes back to God. That's what the Bible says. All right? So that, sometimes we have to take, in the spirit realm, this is where these come into effect. Because they're already in your soul. But it's that part that comes back out that's trying to get out and manifest itself. Do everybody understand what I'm saying? It's the part that gets out. Like when you get a revelation of water baptism, that's wonderful. But what you got to do is you got to let that come back out, not so that you can explain it to others, but so that that can live. See, God doesn't want us just to pack it in our soul and not live it out. We need to live it out. And to live it out is this. This is life. Like Keith said one time, and I really appreciate what he said. He said, these are the trials of life. These are the trials of life. These are the things that I deal with every day of my life. You should too. You should be so conscious that you are virtuous enough that somebody would want to come to you for prayer or come to you to ask you a question or what more. And then you got to have it to give it out. But now a lot of times, though, we sit upstairs or we sit somewhere and we have to filter things that comes down through here, down into here, I mean really here to here, then down to here. Then when you got that soul which says, yeah, that's right, or wait a minute, you still got that contact coming out of those five senses, memory, reason. I want you to look those up sometimes and read about them. Just in the common world, just what the world says about memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Because remember, that affection is not affection for God. Totally. Remember, that's filial love. Agape love is what's in your soul. Which means that it's not exactly what this is. Brother Brown said this is love for your family, for your children, for your wife. This is the love for God. Right? Because remember, Brother Brown says, he said it comes from agape love to filial love to lust to fornication, you know, it keeps getting worse and goes all the way down. Well, see, you got to filter all that other out. Brother Brown preached thinking man's filter. He's talking about stopping the flues up. Well, what's the flu stopped up? And your flu is not stopped up in your soul. That's as eternal as God is. That is the Genesis 1:26, man. That's the one that's preserved before the foundation of the world. That's the one that never sinned a day in its life. It never had a problem with the word. It's just when you bring it down through those filters of memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination where the devil is standing there waiting on it to come. Right? You ought to all agree with this because it's all happening in your life. That's where the devil plays, is the memory, reason, because remember, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear is just how this reacts to that. This is just, you know, take the soul and the spirit out and this thing lays here and you can't accuse it of nothing. You can't accuse it of a dead man of lying. He's dead.
When you say when it comes back out, are you talking about like our reaction to it?
Well, more like your revelation of, because what happens is, let me give you an example. Here's a perfect example. When I was 14 years old, you know, we come up in the message 1968. Well, in 1974, I was 14 years old. Well, I started really studying the Word of God, and I started studying the message of the hour. Well, I had a real good understanding of water baptism. I had a real good understanding of serpent seed. I knew there was only one God. But now I wasn't born again. I know that because 20 years gap in there proved that I wasn't. But I had got enough of it in me to where when I did get born again, God quickened it real fast. I went through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a very short time. I was almost like the disciples, and I don't make myself nowhere close to a disciple, but remember the disciples, for 3.5 years, Jesus sat there and preached to them every day. So Brother Branham said, what happened on the day of Pentecost, all that they had taken in was quickened. So they went right up to here. Because they all that came back to their memory, what Jesus had been telling them. Remember, they didn't understand it before. But now, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's the first one that stood up. And he didn't stand up and say, men and brethren, repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, just like Jesus said. No. He gave them the true revelation that what Jesus had in his mind. He gave them that true revelation on the day of Pentecost. But now remember, like I said, I could have that in my heart. I mean, in my spirit. But that wasn't in my soul. My soul still was doubt. Okay, that soul was not born again. So I had it in my spirit because what? I could remember. I could reason. I had conscious that Brother Branham was a prophet. The devil knows that. All those five senses, I had those senses of that word coming this far. But not here. This is the soul. It come this far. But now remember, when I was born again, all that I had here was quickened coming back out. And it wasn't the quit. It was the quit smoking, drinking, and all that stuff. But it was that I could take now serpent seed and not just say, well, it was Eve having sex in the garden with the beast. No, I can see serpent seed still affecting us today. And see the revelation that Brother Branham preached. Well, see, that to me, that's the new birth. The new birth shows you it never stops unfolding. It never stops revealing one God. It never stops revealing water baptism. It never stops revealing the Son of Man. It never stops revealing things. When that thing comes down in that soul, and that soul is nothing but God, it's got to come out, but it's got to go back through them same flues that it came down through. Everybody understand that? It's the same word comes in. But when it quickens in your heart, it's going to have a different reaction when it comes out. Now, if you allow it, you say, well, I don't think I can have temperance. Then you won't. So you'll stop that flu up. God can't work any more above that. God can't work any more above that. But now you come up here and you say, well, now I got temperance. I'm getting patience, I'm getting godliness, getting brotherly kindness. Then this comes not as another. Remember, there's many refillings. There's one baptism. That's when God burns the old you out, burns the nature of you away, and doesn't put another soul in. He brings his soul. See, that's not the two soul people. It's like, you know, he kills one and he brings you another one. No, it's you. You're you until the day you die. The day you were born, you got the same soul. In essence, you have the same life. But God burns that old nature off. Just let you say, well, how can you explain that? Brother Bram said in Future Home that God does the world the same way he does us. So what is he going to destroy this world? Now, we believed before. See, there we go through our filter. We believed before with our eyes reading the Bible that this world was going to be annihilated and we were going to heaven, right? Most denominations believe that this is going to be done away with, annihilated, Bible says, and we're going to go to heaven. Well, see, when Brother Bram preaches the Future Home, he says, now that word's not exactly what it seems to be. He said God's just going to burn the sin off of this world and we're going to come and live on the earth. Now what's the same way with the soul of man? If the earth is the center of the universe, then you're the center of God. Center. If you have the new birth, you're the center of God. Well, now he's not going to kill that. He's not going to kill your soul. He's going to burn off that old Adamic nature that when you were born, that Adamic nature attached itself to you. And you did wrong. Right? Brother Bram, I got a quote. I can't pull it up. But he says, Adam's soul was covered with blackness when he did what he did. Now, he was the son of God. So, see, we can still have trouble and trials and tribulations, but it's not in the soul. It's in that spirit realm. That's where the devil can play. But the earth is just like us. Remember, we go before the earth. The whole world is groaning and waiting, Romans 8, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, when we come to here. So it's waiting on God to burn off us first. Because, see, Adam fell and everything fell under him. So now we got to start and go back up. Remember, redemption is not replacement. Whatever fails got to come back. So when Adam fell, all nature, the earth, fell with it, right? So now what's got to happen? This has got to come back to full manifestation, shown in a prophet a little while with the squirrels and with Hattie Wright and with the storm and different things. There was God or the second Adam back in power again. Everybody got that? But remember, he was here. He wasn't groveling around on the ground crying down here. No, he was up here, a full manifested Son of God. That's the way I believe it. On Sunset Mountain, Brother Branham was adopted, just like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus didn't need to be adopted, but he went through the act of adoption. Everybody understand that? So Brother Branham went out there, and when those angels came down and said, go back to Jeffersonville, God was saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And he could bring us then, see, somebody had to come to that. Jesus had to come to it. Jesus was it, but he grew in grace and knowledge, just like we said before. But somebody had to come to it in the end time to draw the rest of us up. Okay? So he's given us the full message of the hour to draw us up. So here we are. We got to come to here, not here. We got to come to here. But this is not a, this is a refilling. This is a more of. This is a, I now have my memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination under control. You're not going to ever do away with them. You're just going to be under control. Right? Because you're always going to have memory. You're going to have memory right up to the change. And even when you get over and changed, the Bible even says the former things will be passed away. God's going to have to wipe our memory bank out of the bad things. I believe we'll remember the good things, but all the bad things, all the horrors that we went through, we'll never remember that again. Former things will be passed away. All things will be made new. Okay? And we thank God for that, what he's going to do for us. But seeing your soul, that soul never did it to start with. That's where Brother Ram could say, your soul, you, the real you, never did it in the first place. That real one that came from God. See, Brother Ram said, God comes down. Here you are. Remember, the Bible says that the house is swept and garnished. What? Cleans the sin out. But that's just justification and sanctification. Because if you don't fill it with God, that unclean spirit is going to come back and go right back where he was before, make you seven or eight times a sinner, religious. But if God fills that, the good man of the house is in there and nobody can come back. Nobody can come back in that soul, but that doesn't mean they can't come into that spirit realm. He's going to come back into that spirit realm, and he's going to try to figure out a way to get back into your soul. Because if Satan can get in your soul, he's got you. All right, but you take that memory, reason, conscious, affection, and you got your soul as eternal as God is. It never did sin. So what you got to do is you got to believe. This is where our believing's got to come from. That's why I think this is so important. We've got to believe that when we come to this spot right here, it's not that we're not going to have any trouble. It's not that we're not going to have any trials. We're going to have memory, like I said, right up to the change of the body. You're going to remember the bad things you did, because the devil's going to be right there, Brother Bram, right before the change. He said you're going to have trouble. So it's not. My thought was one time is, well, it's going to get better as we get closer. Now, Jesus didn't get better as he got closer. He got worse. He didn't get worse. The things that were upon him got worse. He died on a cross. He was beat like hamburger meat. You know, I mean, that was his crowning moment. So our crowning moment's not going to be that we're going to walk around here with sinless perfection. Because we're always going to have memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. And Satan's always going to be able to at least come into that part. But when God comes in, now in the statue of perfect man, Brother Brown said, God comes down and vulcanizes. Remember he talks about the rubber? He only talks about vulcanizing one time. God comes in and brings his soul. That Genesis 1:26, man. That's what he brings. He brings that Genesis 1:26, man, that eternal, not you as a separate person. But it's God, and Brother Brown said, this is my eye, God gave it to me. So now I can say, this is my Holy Ghost, God gave it to me. It's not God's anymore, it's mine. But it is God. It's not God giving me something, it is God coming. It's God coming and putting his soul, Brother Brown said, soul to soul. See, that's where he brings man back. Then what we have to do, though, is work our way out by this right here. This is the only way we're going to get it. It's the only way we're going to keep it capped, keep it under surveillance. Not going to be able to do away with it, but you're going to be able to survey what happens, make a choice, a decision, or a judgment by what's in here versus what's out here. So. We need to go. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. The mind is where the memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Everything, all five senses go through the brain. Memory, through your brain. Reasoning, through your brain. Conscious is in your brain. Affection is in your brain first. Then imagination is always in your brain.